we're holding now on the first day of Slichas. Magen Avraham brings down that the start of the Yom Neroyim begins with the first day of Slichas. He writes this in Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim and Hilchas Tvila. He says that when the Rama makes a comment about Yom Neroyim starts really with the first day of Slichas. Magen Avraham also writes in the Tavkav Pe'alev, many people have a minute to fast on the first day of Slichas. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the Tavkav Pe'alev like it's what everyone does. Yeah, everyone fasts the first day of Slichas. So there's definitely something special to the first day of Slichas. We mentioned in the Halacha Shel last week that the Nitta Gavriel brings down from Rebbe Elimelech that he suggests that instead of fasting, you should learn extra. Learn Tublat, learn Tutaisusim, learn Rosh, learn something more than you would on a regular day. And this way, it counts as if a person is fasting. But the Baron Cutler in Mishnah Sabaron points out that the days of Slichas, really the days of Elul, have an unbelievable power. He writes that a person can accomplish more during these days, during Elul, Seres Mei Tshuva, than he could on a regular day. The power of these days can accomplish, with a much less effort, a person can accomplish much more during this time. However, says the Baron, there's one condition. You have to use these days. If we just sit back and think it's business as usual, it's a regular day, or the next week is a regular week, except we'll just be more tired because we're getting up earlier. It's not true. Says the Baron, the power of these days are only going to be as much as we use them. If we focus on them, and we think about it, and we realize that these days are very powerful, leading us up to the Yom HaDin, then these days will be very productive for us. However, if we just sit back and count it out until it's over, and we, you know, wait till Rosh Hashanah, till we get to dip an apple and honey, then it's not going to have the same power, writes Rav Baron. In Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter quotes that someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik, said he doesn't understand. And in the parentheses he puts that the person who asked Rav Soloveitchik was a psychologist. And he asked Rav Soloveitchik, he said he doesn't understand the Rosh Hashanah davening. We say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, we ask Hashem to instill fear in us. Ask Hashem to instill fear. So this psychologist asked Rav Soloveitchik, but we know it's not healthy to be afraid all the time. It's not good. You can't be scared, always looking over your shoulder, always being nervous where you go. It's not healthy. So how could it be that we daven to Hashem that He should instill fear in us? This was a question presented to Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik answered him. He said, "You're right. It's not good to be scared." But he said, "It's good to be scared of the Yom HaDin." That was his answer. I'd like to explain what I think he meant was, is that people that are just afraid to be afraid, yeah, if you're always looking at garbage cans and you're always afraid who the guy next to you online is, yeah, that's not healthy. But if you have something to be really afraid of because you understand what it means, and there's a way of improving it, there's a way of fixing it, there's a way of calming your nerves, if we tap in properly and we prepare and we get ready and we do what we need to do, then that fear gets us to do what we need to do. Doesn't just make us nervous, but this fear instills upon us the severity of what Yom HaDin is, how important Yom HaDin is. And the truth is, we don't need any reasons to be afraid. Now, we spoke 2 weeks ago about 9/11, then last Sunday, we got our own bout of terrorism here in New York. And people are scared. People are scared, people are nervous, people are afraid. And that's what Chazal wanted. We have it easier. The mayor's not afraid. He says it's only infinitesimal. Yeah, he's safe. I'm happy he's safe. I'm nervous. But the truth is, I think it's more than that. If we go this last week of Rosh Hashanah, I always find amazing. We never hear of tragedies that happened this week. Just on Friday, this child in Canada with a baseball bat in the story. My wife told me a story about a four-year-old kid who swallowed a battery. Terrible, terrible, terrible stories. But what's always ironic to me is if you think about it, these stories didn't happen now. These stories were Nigmar Din a year ago. Amish, going back a year, this family and this individual and this community had a Gemar Din that this was going to be. And this Gemar Din is so powerful that it doesn't end so quickly. It's an entire year of effects that we have to think about. I myself have my own story. Already 3 years ago, my daughter fell on Erev Rosh Hashanah. She broke her shoulder. She tripped. She should be more politically correct. She tripped. And she hurt herself very badly. She had to have surgeries. And I was thinking about it. It was Mamish Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah. So I was thinking about it, this idea that the Yom HaDin, it's not just comes and goes. It affects us for an entire year. We have a whole other year. We still now are going to be feeling the Yom HaDin of last year. So we really have a chance to really work upon for what we want next year to look like. The change from last year to this year, the new year that we want, is very much into us, is up to us. As much as we tap in, as much as we focus on what we want this year to be, the avodah that we put into it, that will affect the upcoming year. In Parshas Kisavo, the Torah discusses the mitzvah of Bikurim. And most people think the mitzvah of Bikurim is directly connected to the mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov. I believe that that is an element, but I think there's another element of the mitzvah of Bikurim. We find that the mitzvah of Bikurim, Klal Yisrael only got after they conquered the land and took over Eretz Yisrael. Yet we also find that Chazal say that Klal Yisrael merited to go into Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvah of Bikurim. So it seems to be somewhat contradictory. What is the lesson of Bikurim? The lesson of Bikurim is a farmer, after he works, spends hours, days, months working on his field, and all of a sudden he has what to be proud of, and he has to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash and completely give it away. What's the lesson that the farmer learns? The farmer learns a very valuable lesson, that it's not him. It's not Kaychi Voitzim Yodi Asuli Asachayel. That's not me. I'm not the one, despite the fact that as smart as I think I am, and talented as a farmer I am, I'm not the one who made the fruit grow. Hashem made it grow. He used me as a shliach to make the fruit grow. And that's the lesson of Bikurim. And that was the lesson Klal Yisrael needed to learn in order to go into Eretz Yisrael. If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, and you want to have your own country, and you want to be a productive country, you have to realize it's not about you. And that's why specifically it happened only after the kibbush. Only after they spent years fighting wars and kicking out enemies. Where very easily one could say to himself, hey, it's all about us. We did this. We kicked them out. We took over. We're the successful ones. Right after that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, let's learn a very valuable lesson. The lesson of Keichi V'Otzim Yod V'Otzim L'Yisachai L'Zeh. And that's really the lesson that we learn for all year long. And whenever we do things that are good, productive, successful, it's very easy to take credit for it. It's very easy. We worked hard. We're very smart. We went to school for a long time. It's very easy to take the credit. But that's why the Torah is telling us this idea of Kaychi V'Otzim Yod L'Yisachai L'Zeh. It's not about us. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability. He gave us the schus to do it, but we have to realize it's ultimately coming from him. And then in the parasha of Bikurim, the Torah tells us a pasuk that a person who brings Bikurim is v'samach to b'chal ha'toiv, he should be happy with all that he has. So Rabbi Fran writes in his sefer in the name of Rav Gifter. Rav Gifter asked, he said, how do you force simcha? You have to be happy. You can't always be happy. What does it mean to have to be happy at the time of Bikurim? So he said over beautifully, he says, can you imagine the farmer coming? He's all excited. He thinks he has the best fruit in town. He comes to Yerushalayim, there's 20 other farmers. All of a sudden he looks at their basket. All of a sudden he's depressed. Because their basket's much better than his basket. And he's at home on the farm. He thinks he's the greatest farmer that ever lived. All of a sudden he gets exposed to other farmers. All of a sudden, hey, he's not so good anymore. And he starts to get depressed. So that's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us when you go to Bikurim, you're going to see other fruits. Be happy with what you have. Don't worry about what he has or what the other guy has. V'samach b'chal ha'toiv is the Torah is forcing us to be happy with what you have. It's not about what other people have. It's not looking over your shoulder. You should be happy with what you have. And he adds, that's pshat at the end of the Torah, when the Torah discusses the Teichacha. The Torah says, why is Klal Yisrael getting punished? Tachas eshalo yivatas Hashem simcha meroiv kol. Klal Yisrael has to realize that no matter what someone else has, we have to be happy for what we have. We have to be grateful for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Maybe it's not what the other person has, but it's okay. Because it's what I have, it's what I need. So many times when a person is in a bad place, he only focuses on the negative. To focus on the positive and say the good that I do have, how happy and lucky I am to what I do have. Whatever I have, my family, my health, my parnasa. Yes, I don't make as much as the guy next door. Okay, but I'm happy for what I have. And that's really the hakdoma to the Yom Nerayim, why the Torah is writing it over here, is that this is what we have to keep in mind. Going into Yom Nerayim, what are we focusing on? When we ask Hashem, we davet Hashem, what are we asking that's important? To have more and more money, that's what we're asking for. That's what's going to make us happy. People can have a lot of money and they're miserable. Happiness is not going to be defined by a paycheck. Happiness is going to be defined by how we feel. If we realize to ourselves that we're happy with what we have, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us much more simcha. There's a fellow in the 1920s, went to the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha. And the Chafetz Chaim gave him a bracha. And the Chafetz Chaim parted with the following words. He told him, just remember, your house is not your house. That's what the Chafetz Chaim told him. The young fellow didn't know what he meant by this. Years later, the Chafetz Chaim passed away, and Nazis took over. And when the Nazis came into his house, they took over his house. And the fellow looked at him, and he said, it's my house. And the Nazi looked at him and said, no, it's not your house. So the fellow said he understood what the Chafetz Chaim was telling us. All these things that we have in our life, yes, they're here for now. They're our pikdonos, we have them for now. But remember, what are we really focusing on? This is not what's really important to us. What's really important to us is what Hashem showers us with the gifts that He gives us, health, our family, nachas. These are things that are really important to us. These are things that we're going to take. These possessions that we acquire throughout our lives are not so important to us. And that's why the Torah is telling us at this time of the year, right before we get into the Yom Nerayim, right before we talk, we're going to be standing in front of Hashem in about a week from now, begging Him for a good year. What are we asking for? What's important to us? What's on our system of importance? That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us. I apologize in advance for the change in topic. Usually we learn Gittin this on Sundays, but I realized on Friday morning that we have a minig here, that we usually try to do something of the topics of the year around the time of the Yom Tov. So Baruch Hashem, our manager in control over here, we have to say Mimakir Tov to Michael Charnitz for all that he does for the Shia publicly. And he sent that an email very late last night. that we're changing topics. I don't know if anyone read it or didn't read it, but thank you for sending it out and all the work he does on behalf of this shurim and all the other shurim, and not just my shurim, of all the shurim and the young kids, all Habatzah's Torah throughout the five towns. But Baruch Hashem, many of you got to see the email that we switched and we're learning something different. What I want to discuss today is I want to discuss the role of women in Shofar. That I think the official title was "Are Women Obligated in Shofar?" Now, if I was reading that email, I wouldn't even bother coming to the shir. I'd say the rabbi totally lost it. Of course women are not obligated in shofar. It's a mitzvah says she has my grandma. Every fifth grader knows that. What type of shir is he going to give? Right? It's true. It's a good point. But it struck me differently because I was talking to someone yesterday. He was asking me, he doesn't know what to do. His wife is due on Rosh Hashanah. He's all nervous. What's he going to do about shofar and being in a hospital? So I told him, you have a whole week to learn how to blow shofar. So he told me, yeah, fine. But what about his wife? She needs to hear shofar. So I looked at him, I said, no, she doesn't. Women are not obligated in shofar. And the guy stares at me like I fell off, I don't know where. He's looking at me like, what are you talking about? This is a guy learning in Kailab and Tari went to yeshiva his whole life. He's looking at me like, I'm nuts. I said, I'm nuts? Women are not obligated in shofar. This is Aleph Beis. It's a mitzvah say shahaz magram. So where did everyone go wrong, so to say, with the idea of whether or not women are not or are obligated in shofar? So pashtus, the answer is women are not obligated in shofar. So what's the whole basis for today's shir? The basis for today's shir is based on the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. So look at number one, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if children want to play with the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, we don't stop them. So the Gemara makes the Diyuk in number one. Also, if you notice, we go on two sides over here. We usually don't do that on a Sunday morning. It's not our style here. Right? We usually...
We're really
obligated. Okay, good. That's why everyone's here today. Baruch Hashem.
Really obligated.
You see, we're going on two sides today, which is something we generally don't do on a Sunday morning share, but hopefully we'll get to all the Maram Mekaymas. So the Gemara makes a Diyuk from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that children, we allow them to play with the Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Hanoshim, but women ma'akvin. We'd stop them. If a lady wants to play with the Shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we'd stop her. So, Yitzchak Sirotzkin points out, what do you mean you stop the lady from blowing shofar? You stop children from doing things because you have a chiyuv to be pirish or cutting from doing an aveira. You don't find such a chiyuv to stop your wife from doing aveiras. Shtalosh and ma'akvin doesn't really fit so well describing what you do to women. You don't stop them. Either it's mutter or it's aser. To say you stop her, it seems very childish to say that's the way you would react with a lady. But in any case, the Gemara makes a dig from the Mishnah that women, you'd have to stop. In fact, the Gemara Vatani, we learned in the Braise, a ma'akvin lois and noshal lois at Tanoikis, but the Gemara says, we have a braisa that says we don't stop women, we don't stop children. Anyone who wants to pick up a shofar and blow on a Rosh Hashanah, we have no problem. So as a stira, Amar Rabbi Eloi Kasha. HaReb Yehuda, HaReb Yosi, Reb Shimon. The fundamental machloek is Tanoim between Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon. What's this machloek is based on? The Tanya we learned in the braisa. Dabel B'nei Yisrael. It says in the Torah when discussing the mitzvah of smicha, not the one they give out today, the smicha on behemoths, there might be similarities.
No comment.
We'll leave it off on that. But in any case, by the smicha, the Torah says, "Dabar el bnei Yisrael." Says over there, tell to the bnei Yisrael, the males of the Jewish nation. So the Gemara makes a deal: bnei Yisrael soim chayis. Only bnei Yisrael, only a male is allowed to do smicha on an animal. Ve'ei bnei Yisrael soim chayis. But a girl, a female, is not allowed to do smicha on an animal. David Reb Yehuda. That's the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Reb Yosi Reb Shimon Aymrim Noshim Soim Chis Rishos. Reb Shimon say you're right. It's a good diuk. The Torah says women do smicha, not men. But what's the diuk telling me? It means only men do smicha, not women. It doesn't mean women can't do smicha. It means women are not obligated to do smicha. So if machloik is tanoim, how do we depasik by smicha? Is the pshat that women are not allowed to do smicha? Which obviously we need to know, why can't they do smicha? What's wrong if they want to? As opposed to the other opinion in the Gemara, that no, that they're allowed to, they're not obligated. What does this have to do with our Gemara? So Rashi explains in 1c, Rashi says, Alma we see, Afal gav de patrini kra, that even though their women are clearly exempt from a mitzvah, leka is surah, there's nothing wrong if they choose to do it. So if you hold like Reb Yosi Reb Shimon, that women are allowed to do smicha, so women are allowed to blow shofar, and they're allowed to shake a lulav, and they're allowed to eat a sukkah. Either they're not obligated, fine, so they're not obligated. Doesn't mean they're not allowed to. However, if you hold like the other opinion of the Gemara, and that's the answer to the stira, if you hold like the other opinion of the Gemara, then no, they're not allowed to. When the Torah said women are not supposed to do smicha, it wasn't just that they're not have to do smicha, they're not allowed to do smicha. And from here we learn out at Memetzinu that any time the Torah exempts a woman from a mitzvah, not only is it an exempting on the chiyuv, it's an exemption on the ability. Not only they're not obligated, they're not even allowed to. That's the machloekes tanoim.
That's only here we have a specific...
Okay, so we'll have to see. Is it only specifically by smicha? Now the Gemara makes a jump from smicha to shofar. The Gemara says the machloikis tanoim by smicha is going to be negated to the shayla by shayf. So obviously the Gemara feels that there's some connection between smicha and shayf. Now, does that mean smicha on every mitzvah or only specifically smicha and shayf? That's a very big machloikis rishayin. Yeah, very good. We're going to get there. That's today's is really a share on how to learn Baal Tosif, and Agav will talk about shayf. Okay, so the obvious question is, what's wrong with a woman doing a mitzvah that she's not obligated to? According to the first sheet in the Gemara, women are not allowed to do smicha. Why not? So they're not obligated. Good. The Torah says, B'nai Yisrael, men are supposed to do smicha, not women. And so what if a lady does it? What happens? What's the effect of it? So Rashi writes over here in 1b, Hanoshim Ma'akvin, Dipturais Legamri, the mitzvah says she has mangramu. Rashi is referring to by shayfer. Why would we stop women from blowing shayfer in Rosh Hashanah? What's wrong? A lady picks up a shayfer, let her blow. So Rashi, no, because they're potter. Why? Because the mitzvah says she's mangramahu. V'chitaki, and if a lady would pick up a shayfer and blow, ikka bal taisif. There'd be a problem of bal taisif. So a big chiddush from Rashi. Rashi feels that if a lady picks up a shayfer when she's not obligated, and she blows shayfer, she'd be over bal taisif. Which means, according to Rashi, if a lady shakes lulav, she's over bal taisif. If a lady shakes in a sukkah, she's over bal taisif. So not only is she not obligated, she's not even allowed to. If a lady goes and hits shayfer, she's over a lav of bal taisif. This is Rashi's opinion. Rashi sounds like, at least Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like this is a real thing. It's not the Rabbana, it's a real Baal Taisif. Now, who told Rashi this? So Rashi learned it from the Gemara. If the Gemara said women are not allowed to do smicha, why can't they do smicha? The answer is because when you're not obligated and you do something, that's a problem. That's not allowed. You're not allowed to do something that you're not obligated in. So Frektim Asho, over here, number two. Frektim Asho, Le'yadana, my Baal Taisif Shaychacha. Frektim Asho, what Baal Taisif is there over here? Why? That's not the definition of Baal Taisif. Baal Taisif doesn't mean when you make up mitzvahs. That's not what Baal Taisif is. Baal Taisif is you take a pre-existing mitzvah and you add onto it. The Torah says sit in a sukkah for 7 days, you sit in a sukkah for 14 days. So it means you take the mitzvah of the Torah and you add on it. You add more levels to it. But just to take a, if we decided that today we're going to make a new Yom Tov, we're going to make up all new rules, new mitzvahs, all new rules. That's not Baal Taisif, says the Marsha. It might be something else. But that's not Baal Taisif. Frekta Mashah, the definition of Baal Taisif is taking a pre-existing mitzvah and adding onto it. So therefore the Mashah says, what's Rashi talking about? Why is Rashi calling this Baal Taisif?
Why don't you say it's adding onto it? Because it's mechuyah for men. The fact that you're a woman doing it, that's the adding
onto it. Yeah, that might be something we need to talk about. That might be some of the svaras over here. But just to get clear, the Mashah is assuming that the definition of Baal Taisif is very limited. It's only taking a pre-existing mitzvah and adding onto it. But if you create a new mitzvah, that wouldn't be true. And then the Mashah adds, he says, he doesn't know why Rashi got himself into trouble. Rashi picked the reason that's not true. Rashi just had a much better reason. What's the better reason why, says the Mashah? He should have said better. Rashi should have said, you know why women can't blow shofar? Because every time a lady picks up a shofar and she's not being mekayem a mitzvah, she's blowing a musical instrument. Blowing a musical instrument is an issur d'rabbanan. So therefore it should be an issur d'rabbanan d'bishloi b'makom mitzvah, ikka issur d'rabbanan b'tkiyah. Like the Gemara says in the beginning of the first parak. At the beginning of the third parak. So the Marsha says, Faket, there's a better reason why a lady's not allowed to blow a shayfa when she's not obligated. Not because she's ever Baal Taisif, but because she's even a Siddur Rabban.
An Yom Tov.
And Smich would be the same thing. There's a technical problem because when you're putting your hands on an animal for no reason, so that's Mizalzel or it's Mi'ila, but there's a side reason, not because of Baal Taisif, but there's some specific reason. So why didn't Rashi say, like, it could be if you're being nana from it, depending on, it could either be zilzal kachem, we'll see in a few minutes to reshain him, that there's a totally different reason with smicha. No, smicha anytime, any day, smicha anytime. Right. So why didn't Rashi say like this, Marsha? So the Achorayim point out, because Rashi disagrees. Rashi, at the beginning of the third parak, holds that blowing a shayfer on Yom Tov, Shleib Makam Mitzvah, is not an Issa D'Rabban. It's not true. He disagrees. He holds us not included in that Issa D'Rabban. So Rashi, she tells it couldn't have learned like the Marsha. So Rashi was stuck. How do you learn the Gemara? So Rashi had to learn the Gemara. It's Baal Taisif. So the Marsha's...
That's just like
davening.
Excuse me, where we said they buy Rachmi. So since shofar is...
Very good. There's a tshuva from the Besom Imroi. She makes this argument. Right. He says, why don't we say women are obligated? Why are women obligated based on that cheshbon? Exactly. He makes that exact cheshbon. But the question is, we still have to work with the regular rules that we have for mitzvahs, whether or not they should be obligated. The Pashat, the Pshat, the Machloikis Tanoim is a very lomdusha Machloikis. The Machloikis Tanoim are, when the Torah patters a lady, what's the Torah doing? Is the Torah saying you're pater, memela, even if you do it, you're not getting a schar mitzvah? Or the Torah saying, no, you're not obligated, but if you were to still do it, you'd get schar mitzvah. Which, right, this Machloikis Tanoim is a very fundamental Machloikis. Is when the Torah writes women are exempt, yeshlo, then what does that mean? So there's two ways of learning. Either the Torah is saying that women are removed from the mitzvah to the extent that even if they'll go and do it, they won't get a check, because they're not obligated. Right? It's like if a person sits in a sukkah on Hanukkah, he doesn't get any check for it, because there's no mitzvah. So if a lady does a mitzvah, she has magrom, she gets absolutely no check for it. The other way of looking at it is no. A lady's not obligated to do so. If she were to go and inconvenience herself, of course she would get a check. That's the chari the machloikis. Because it can't be bal toisif if you become a mitzvah through it. Right? If you're going to go around saying that, oh, a lady's not allowed to do this mitzvah. Why is she not allowed to do it? Because there's absolutely no key in mitzvah whatsoever in her pula. So that's why she's ever bal toisif. So lefiza the machloikis tanoim is when the Torah excludes a woman, what does the Torah do? The problem with this is, so what do you do with the rule of Godel Mitzvah Vaisir, Yaisim Mishaina Mitzvah Vaisir? According to this Gemara, if you hold that women are not allowed to do Mitzvah Shaz Mangrama, so why does the Gemara say that it's greater the schar for someone who does something he's not obligated? Fuck it! If you're not obligated, now don't you get schar, you even Nisid Eraisa. How do we learn that famous Gemara in Kedushin? But the Gemara in Kedushin tells us, Gemara in Kedushin, Baba Kama, that greater the schar for someone who's not obligated. No, not true. It's a Machloikas Tanoim.
Maybe
there's a chiluk between assuma. Right. It means an ena mitzvah. We say that someone's ena mitzvah voice still gets schar. What do you mean gets schar? He's over alive according to this. According to this tzad in the tanoim, machloek is tanoim. He's not only doesn't he get schar, he's over in this. So that's. Why?
No.
Good. Very good. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. We're going to talk about it.
When you're obligated, but in the general, in that mitzvah.
Okay, good. So we're going to have to see how far removed could a person be from a mitzvah or connected to the mitzvah to affect that status. We'll see hopefully in a few minutes. Now, Rashi in Erevin seems to change a little bit from what he wrote in Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi in Erevin number 3 writes, by the story of Michal Baal Shol that she put on tefillin. And Michal Baal Shol put on tefillin, but Rashi's daughter didn't put on tefillin. We can say that on record also. That's also a Baba Mais. It's also a Baba Mais with the Goylem from the Mara. It's all Baba Mais. Never happened. Okay. So Rashi in Erevin says number 3, I hope I didn't ruin anyone's dreams. Zakirashi, number 3, because when I tell people about the girl, the mom is depressed. It ruined their childhood and everything.
All of me.
I know, I'm terrible. I said, no one can handle that news, but okay, it's true anyways. Number 3, Rashi and Erevin says, what does it mean that Michal Baal Shol put on tefillin, no one stopped her? What's the chiddush, Zakirashi? To have a kid to yisefes al divrei Torah. It's like you're adding on to a mitzvah of the Torah. Shepater noshe mitzvah shaz mangrom. So here Rashi doesn't sound so convinced. Doesn't sound like it is. Rashi noshe shana sound like, no. If a lady puts on tefillin, if a lady does mitzvah shaz mangrom, it's baltais. Here it sounds like it's kitoy sefes advar. Maybe it's like. So if you learn Rashi and Erevin, and Rashi doesn't mean it's real, so then it's not shved the mashal's kasha. Mashal's kasha was, it's not real about taisif, says Rashi. I know it's not real about taisif. I know it's not real baltaisif. Real baltaisif is only if you add on to a pre-existing mitzvah. Making up a new mitzvah is like baltaisif, because not everyone's a lomdish, not everyone knows the difference, and they confuse the two. So that would answer up the kasha. The simple way of answering up the mashal's kasha would be saying like Rashi and Erevin. However, there's a whole other thought process in the Rishonim.
So that's really now only a Drabbanan?
Like that means it's only a Drabbanan. Right, which means it's only a Drabbanan. The only problem with this is we're learning it from Smicha, which is Exeris HaKasav. It's very funny to say it's a Drabbanan, because where did this whole story start? It all started with the Pasuk by Smicha. And by Smicha, the Torah told me women don't do Smicha, and the Tanaim said, they don't. Not only don't they do it, they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to do Drabbanan. You're going to have to say that the man, the Omar that holds, women are not allowed to do smicha, it's not be'etzim they're not allowed to do smicha. Really, the Torah is saying they're potter. It's just they're not allowed to because it's nirik about Tosef. It takes away a lot of the umph of the drasha, as opposed to learning it derisus, and then the Torah is telling me they're not allowed to do it. There's a whole other thought process in the Rishonim, how to learn the schema. No.
So that's a chiluk also.
Right, but the Gemara...
Prompted by Dabir Bnei Yisrael, but not those Yisrael.
So that's a fair point. Who gave the Gemara the right to jump from when the Torah wrote something specifically by Smicha to any other mitzvah in the Torah? Which we'll see in a second. Many Rishonim draw that distinction. And they say you can't just draw compare every mitzvah to Smicha. There's something special about Smicha and at least Shaif.
Smicha is...
According to Rashi, at least Rashi and Rosh Hashanah and Rashi and Erevin, you're right. All mitzvahs are the same. But we're going to see according to other Rishonim, the way they learned the Gemara, that's not the case.
Is Smicha a mitzvah to say Shas Magrama, or it's the only thing that...
No, it's not. It's not a mitzvah. It's an example of a mitzvah women are potter from.
Potter from, that's not a mitzvah.
That's right, which is an interesting thing. Right. We're currently comparing two different Purim that might have different reasons. However, Tosfos and Erevin, and this is the way many Rishonim learn, that the Pshat in the mitzvah of Smicha, the mitzvah of Shofar, had nothing to do with Baal Tosfos. So what is it? So Tosfos says, there's certain mitzvahs that the reason why women are not allowed to do it according to that mandomer is not because there's a specific issue. It's just because really men shouldn't do these mitzvahs. But if you're mitzvah, then you have to do it. For example, says Tosfos in Erevin number 4, Tolei Averishos Mishum, the tefillin tzrichin gufnaki. Because really tefillin needs a gufnaki. And really men shouldn't wear tefillin. But men have a mitzvah, so they have to do it. But women, that since they don't have a mitzvah, why put yourself into a situation where you might be mezalzel in the mitzvah? That's why they don't do the mitzvah. The noshim ain't as rizus lizar. One of the riots about oil regal, because since you're not obligated, it looks like you're bringing chulin lazar. So what would be so bad if a lady blows shofar or do smicha? You see the way Tosfos learned Rashi, michzi meisif. It looks like it's baal teisif. So Tosfos and Ervin learned Rashi and Ervin, not like Rashi and Rosh Hashanah. El mishum de tkiya melacha de rabbanani. So Taisu says, no, you know what the problem would be? It would be a melacha de rabbanon. There'd be a specific problem if a lady with the blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah without being mitzvah is because she'd be over in the de rabbanon of blowing a klisha. So Taisu is clearly not learning like Rashi. Taisu is learning there's nothing fundamentally wrong with women doing mitzvah seishas magram. There are certain mitzvah seishas magram that will have a problem. Sukkah, there's no problem if she wants to sit in the sukkah. What's wrong with sitting in the sukkah? It's a nice day, she sits in the sukkah. I said, why can't she wear tefillin? That's because the tefillin, you run into the problem of gufna. That's the way Taisvis and the round and many Rishonim. Correct. That might be a nafkamina between if they're just listening versus if they're actually blowing it. According to Rashi, it'd still be Baal Taisif. But if according to this pshat, according to Taisif, what? I'm not doing anything. The Baal Takei is doing, I'm just sitting listening. I'm trying to make that deal. Correct. Yeah.
Is there any discussion about Shabbos, or is this only discussion Yom Kippur? About a Tino picking up the shofar on Shabbos
and Sase. That's also true, right? That's the Gemara over there. Right. That's the discussion of the Gemara over there.
Does a man bring in women in that Gemara also? Because no. If he brings in women, then you wouldn't have a Baal Tosfos problem at all.
Right, know? Right. That's the Diach over there, because it talks about Tinoi, because it doesn't talk about Noshim.
It does, though.
Right. So the question is, how are we going to be Miyashe for Rashi? So if you learn like the Marsh, if you learn like Rashi in Erevin, it's not a Kasha. But if you look at number 5, Yitzchak Sirotskin and Sefer Gevurah Yitzchak, wants it. Yeah,
Tosfos is like was sort of explaining Rashi,
right.
But Rashi can't be that way because you said Rashi holds Lushitaso that.
That's not true. It's not listed to Rabbon.
It's right.
It's an interesting thing. It's funny how Tosfos understood Rashi like that, not like that. Correct. So Yitzchak Sirotskin converse Yitzchak wants to tie in a pshat, and Rashi is very simple. Rashi holds like a Ramban and Chumash. Is Ramban and Pashas Veschanan? The Ramban is discussing the mitzvah of Lois Yosef. Baal Tosif. So the Ramban writes, "Ulefi daiti afilu bado lasis mitzvah fnei atzmai, kain she'oise chag b'chodesh abado b'libo ki yirovim oyve b'lav." Says the Ramban, if a guy wakes up one day and says, "I want a holiday," Cheshvan is a slow month. There's no Jewish holidays, so let's make a Yom Tov. I'll make a Yom Tov. Yud Beis Cheshvan. We'll make a Yom Tov. We'll have davening. We'll have the whole shebang. We'll make it a Yom Tov. Says the Ramban, "Yoyve Baal Tosif." That's Baal Tosif. He brings a raya from Yerovim. He brings another raya from the Gemara. The Gemara Megillah said that they didn't feel comfortable making a Yom Tov of Megillah. They held those Baal Tosif. What's wrong with making a Yom Tov? Where are you adding on? Elamai says the Ramban, you see, that there's a Yisoid, that making up mitzvahs are also Baal Tosif. Not only like the Marsha said, adding on to a previous existing mitzvah. Mecha Tosif. Who told the Marsha that's Baal Tosif? Says the Ramban Chumash, that's not Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif is making up mitzvahs. You want to make up no mitzvahs, that's also Baal Tosif. So if Rashi were to hold like this Ramban, then Rashi's not Shver. So you have a Soyuz Machlokes, we'll call it Rashi and the Mashah. What's the Soyuz Isser Baal Tosif? Is Baal Tosif adding on to a pre-existing mitzvah? Or Baal Tosif is making up a new mitzvah? That would also be Baal Tosif. That would be if Rashi holds like this. There's a more Mefurish shot brought down from the Gra at Deris Elio. The Gra is bothered that if you look in the Torah gave the Isser of Baal Tosif in two places. Once the Parshas Veschanan, then it's repeated again in Parshas Re'eh. So the Gra wanted to know, why did the Torah have to write it twice? We got the point, you're not adding on to the mitzvahs. So the Gra writes in number 6, he says like this, Umasha Omar. Says the girl, mamash like this Ramban. Then a pashas v'eschanan, when the Torah wrote lois sifu, you know what that meant don't make new mitzvahs. Don't add on to the number of tayag. We have 613, don't make 650. Because he brings a raya. He says, because what did the Torah write before that? Right before that, the Torah said, listen to my chukim, listen to my mishpatim. So what? That means listen to what I gave you and don't add on to new ones. So therefore, in Parshas Veschanan, and the Torah is telling me don't make up new mitzvahs. And in Parshas Re'eh, when the Torah repeats it again, zokt the Gra, then the Torah is giving you a separate isser, a new isser of not taking a pre-existing mitzvah and adding on to it. So if you say that Rashi holds like this Gra, it's also beautiful. Same isser as the Ramban. There's talk of two types of Baal Tosif. There's taking a mitzvah and adding on to it, and there's making up a new mitzvah. So if Rashi were to hold like this Gra, everything would be beautiful. But there's one problem.
The whole Chumra industry is going
to
be knocked down.
For sure.
Isn't that adding on to it?
That's one thing we need to talk about. It's not exactly the same thing as Yerovah making up a new Yom Tov, right? Here is taking a pre-existing Yisoid of blowing Shofar and extending it. The problem is Rashi can't hold like this Aderis Eliyahu. How do I know it? Because look at number 7. Number 7 is Rashi and Chumash. Rashi describes lots about Taisiv, like Rashi, Kigon Chumash, Parashis, Betfilin, Chumash, Minim, Belovim, the Chumash, Tzitzis. Great. Problem is Rashi writes it in both places. Both in Parashis, Vaschan, and Rashi writes this, and Rashi writes it again in Parashis, Re'eh. That throws off the whole stickle tire.
But neither of them would apply to adding on people who'd be chayav. It's adding on to the chefs of the mitzvah.
In Achanami. But my point is, if Rashi Taka held like this, Adaris Eliyahu, so if Rashi wanted to write something in each place, he shouldn't have written the same thing twice. He should have wrote one place is adding on to a mitzvah, and in one place is adding
the number of mitzvahs.
But even the Gra is not explaining. Right.
No, in Chanami. He's explaining the Psukim.
Taking an existing mitzvah and expanding it. How is adding a person who's
chayav? No, in Chanami. But at least Rashi should have mentioned this chiddush that there's two ways of describing Baal Taisiv. You know, Rashi doesn't want to look repetitive, right? He's writing the same thing in two places. So if Rashi's saying, what am I going to do? There's no other chiddush. But there's a huge chiddush. According to the Gra, there's a massive chiddush that Rashi could have written in either one of these places. And Rashi chose not to. It's interesting. Achrayim to point out the Sifri, when the Sifri wrote a comment on the Pasuk, and the Sifri wrote, this is all coming from Sifri. So the Sifri wrote this Rashi, when the Sifri wrote these words, he wrote it only in Parashas Veschanan and not in Parashas Re'eh, which is beautiful. That's a riot to the Grosh Tekot Torah. I'm sorry, the other way around. He only wrote it in Parashas Re'eh and not in Parashas Veschanan. But Rashi wrote it in both places. So by Rashi writing in both places, L'chayra, it's Rashi telling us, I don't hold to the Shtekot Torah. Because Rashi should have said, at least acknowledge such a pshat. So it's very hard.
Does the Marsha hold like the Grosh? I don't get it.
Does who?
Does the Marsha?
No. Oh, could be. The Marsha sounds like he holds there's only one way of learning Baal Taisif.
Right.
Rashi will answer that no, there's two types of Baal Taisif, the way the Gra learns it. So Rashi. Yeah,
do me a favor, then maybe I didn't understand the Gra. Could you explain it again?
The Gra said there's two types of Baal Taisif. There's either taking a pre existing mitzvah and adding onto it, that's five tefillin or five minim.
Or there's
taking a non existing mitzvah and making up a new mitzvah. Two types of Baal Taisif.
So the Marsha could hold like him.
So what's his Kasha then? So what's his Kasha and Rashi?
No, I'm saying on one side that he holds that it's adding out.
So but why are you asking him Rashi? He asks him Rashi, how do you call this Baal Taisif? What do you mean? Very easy, it's Baal Taisif. It's the other type of Baal Taisif. So the Chayra, the Machoikis, is totally in this side of the Gra, whether or not it's true or not.
What does Rashi say you need two
Pesukim? Yeah, that's true. He doesn't answer it, right? It's a very funny thing. According to Rashi, it seems like he's either he wasn't bothered with this, or he had another way of answering it. So that's true. There's another pshat out there that they also want to say in the name of Naderes Elyon Raman also, that one might be on Bezdin and one might be on the individual. We'll hopefully get to that in a few minutes. That one is that Bezdin wants to make a new mitzvah as opposed to an individual.
Rashi doesn't say that either.
Rashi does not say that. That's true. That's a big problem. So according to this, Rashi holds that when a person is does a mitzvah, they're not obligated to erva Baal Taisif. In Minchas Asher and Parashas Veschanan, he points out something very interesting, which I think is very insightful to understanding Rashi. He says like this, Omnom nir pashat, da'af l'shitasam, even according to Rashi, that if a lady does a mitzvah, she has mangrama, she's erva Baal Taisif, elo be'isha, this is only by a lady. Why? She called mina p'turim mitzvahs. Her whole gender is part of the mitzvah. So if you take something that your whole gender is not into and you decide to do it, that's adding on to the Torah. Let's say you have someone who's potter for whatever the reason may be. Says the Menachas Oshef, let's say you have a mitzta'er. Classic example of a mitzta'er. Mitzta'er potter min asukah. Now we know that Yushami says a mitzta'er is nikra hejit. Okay, fine. But is he ever Baal Taisif? Guy sits in the sukkah in the pouring rain. Pouring rain, there's no question he's potter. He sits in the sukkah with his raincoat on, you know, singing Yom Tov Zmiras, right? So we call him a hedjit, fine. Can we call him an avari? Can we call him an avarian also? Can we also call him an oiv Baal Taisif?
Is he being mekayim the mitzvah?
Oh, Pashta's not. Says the Minchas Asher, and this is what I want to talk about. He says, the harechazina b'mitztayr departam en asukkah. Of course, we know this rule, mitztayr. Umikol mokim eni oiv b'baal Taisif. We never find anywhere there's ever Baal Taisif. El amru boshe nikri hedjit. We call him a hedjit if it's a pashat. So, yesh lo, then on this halacha. Now, Chazash is assuming that there's a fundamental difference between a mitzta'er and a mitzvah shas magrama. And I'm not really sure if I understand it, because if you think about it, they're both excluded from the Torah. A lady is excluded from wherever mitzvah shas magrama is, and a mitzta'er is excluded from the pasuk. Mitzta'er is not stam b'din to rabban, it's excluded from the pasuk. So yes, his gender maybe is included in the pasuk, but this person, Ba'asher Husham, in the matzav that he's in, he is completely excluded from the Torah as well. So why is him sitting in a sukkah not called Baal Taisif? So I understand, yeah, his gender is in the parasha. I get it. But if you break it down and you say to yourself, one second, but what's really the difference? They're both people that the Torah went out of its way to explicitly exempt from the mitzvah.
Well, maybe the nature of the exclusion is different. I mean, the one we're assuming now, or the most other assuming that the exclusion of the woman is that she's completely mukta from the mitzvah.
That's true.
Right? This person sitting in the rain,
Right.
He's not mufka from the mitzvah. The mitzvah is mufka from him.
Right. So the way you have to say it is right. You have to say it along the lines that there's a difference between being completely out of the Torah as opposed to being in a specific situation where you're out of the Torah. Meaning tomorrow he's back in the parsha.
From 10 minutes from now.
Right. But again, I understand that and I agree. I think that's what he holds. But what I would debate is why do we look at it like that? Why do we look at the matziv shahar shosham right now? You're a mitzvah and you're as not wanted to do this mitzvah as a woman is not wanted.
Because the idea still exists. Just the situation.
But
it's like seeing the sukkah on the 10th of Tishrei,
right.
The Kippur.
Right.
You have still a chiv of sukkah. It's just that's not the right time to do it. So when you're mitzvah,
is that the pshat? Is that the pshat?
Not the right time.
Is that or the pshat and the matzav that you're in? Yeah, I don't know. That's what we do here every day, every Sunday. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Specifically, you could look at it differently because mitzvah means that if I wouldn't sit this way in my house,
right?
Chazal went away and sort of defined objective mitzvah. It's really different for every person. So Chazal said, if it's raining heavy, then we'd say that that's objectively. What this person, obviously, he wants, maybe for him it's more tzar to go inside.
Okay.
So for him, when he calculated all that, he doesn't fit into the normal category of people that would be so mitzvah by
right.
sitting in a rain, which Chazal kind of objectively defined as mitzvah. So for him, a big tzar is to walk out. So he's... It's a very...
If you learn that the Torah mitzvah is... The Torah says, Teshuv came to do. And the Torah decided who has to sit in the sukkah. So the Torah said, women don't sit in the sukkah. And it says, mitzvah people don't sit in the sukkah. So now I understand that you can maybe make the argument that women are exempt from all mitzvahs. So it's not a mitzvah by mitzvah type of thing. So when you're totally out of the parasha of mitzvahs, then you're out of the parasha. Here the pshat is, this is a specific text. We don't find mitzvah by any other mitzvah. I don't find mitzvah as patam and atzvila as much as maybe we'd like that, right? We don't find that. Right. Right. These types of things. Right. Right, right. They do. Very much they do. 100%.
So what? I would put it to Rochej Achinon. I don't want to impose such a terrible situation on somebody who ever is to sit while it's raining. But Lamaisa, I could do it. It's not considered a Baal Tosfos.
No, that's his chiddush. That's clearly what the Rosh Avais holds. My question just is if you break it down and you say to yourself, well, when the Torah wrote the parasha of Sukkah, the Torah said, well, Sukkah includes men, not women, people that are comfortable, not uncomfortable. So the Torah really, in some level, lumped them in the same boat. So yes, I understand that there's a fundamental difference because one will never be in the parasha, one could be in the parasha. I'm just pointing out, it's just parasha. He writes, he ends off with Zeh Pashat. It's not so Pashat to me, but it was very Pashat to him. Very possible. Yeah, that's clearly what it is. But according to the tzad, the women are not allowed to. Which according to Rashi means they're not allowed to because they get no schar, they get no credit, and they're over innocent. So he wants to know what would happen if Mitzvah does the exact same thing. Someone who's potter for other reasons. So he thinks there's a difference. Okay. I think we could debate it a little bit.
I thought by Mitzvah, there's no sukkah now. So what are you sitting in?
I'm not sure what that means.
It means it's raining so heavily. Yeah. It's not a sukkah that's able to... So,
right, so let's say a guy's cold. Let's say a guy's cold. The guy's sick. He can't be outside, right? He can't be outside. He's sick. So then...
There's no dinner sukkah.
What does it mean? There's no din of sukkah.
It's not a sukkah that's able to protect this.
Meaning you're saying it's a din in the cheftz and not a din in the gavra. He's saying sukkahs. I know. I would have thought that teshuvah came to do is the Torah's description of what type of people have this mitzvah. Could be right. I'm not denying it. I know. We'll have to talk about when we get close to the sukkahs.
When it comes to rain, it's a lot
of effect. It might depend.
That's why rain is not mitzvah.
It might depend, right?
Rain is not mitzvah. Rain is there's no sukkah. When the bugs or light or something like that, that's mitzvah. That's not halacha in the chafetz. It's halacha in the
chafetz.
It's
a mitzvah.
Okay. It sounds good. It sounds right. Okay. Akoponim, that's the way Basha Weiss wants to say. Okay, so now we have a Yisrael thing between Rashi and Tosfos. Now we have to see the Rambam Shita. The Rambam writes in number 9 in Hilchos Shofar, the Rambam writes, HaTinoikis Shal Higiyu L'chinuch Im Ma'ak V'noisem L'tkoya B'Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. We don't stop the children. What about the women? The Rambam doesn't say anything about women. We stop them, we don't stop them. So it sounds like children, women, we do stop. Why would we stop the women? Because he holds... Because he holds like the sheet in the Gemara that women are not allowed to do shofar, and that's Loshi Tosi number 10. Dr. Rambam in Hilchos Karbanos, Maaseh Karbanos, Hakol Soim Chinchot Micheru Shait VeKatan VeEved VeIsha, and Isha is not allowed to do smicha. It doesn't say Isha is not mitzuve in smicha. It says Isha is not allowed to do smicha. So it sounds like up till now the Rambam holds like the other sheet in the Gemara that women are not allowed to do mitzvah as magroma. They're not allowed to blow shofar. They're not allowed to send the sukkah. They're not allowed to shake lulav. They're not allowed. The problem is the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis. The Rambam writes, Noshim v'avod muktan p'turim min atzitzis. Men at Torah, women are part of mitzvahs. And mitzvahs soifim shekol katan heidel asati chayy betzitzkei v'chanach v'mitzvahs. So the ram of a noshim va'avodim shiratul asati betzitzes. If a lady wants to wrap herself in tzitzes, misatvim below bracha. She does so without a bracha. The chayin shar mitzvahs asay shehanoshim turis mehem. All other mitzvahs asay imratul asay soisin. If they want to do it, below bracha ain moichim yadam. We don't stop them. It's a pella. It's a steering rabba. Why ain moichim yadam? Rambam just passing that women are not allowed to do smicha. If women are not allowed to do smicha, the Gemara said we assume that means they're not allowed to do any mitzvah says my grandma. So why are women allowed to do tzitzis?
Where's the marker for women not being chayv in mitzvah says my grandma?
That's a good question. We'll hopefully get to it a little bit later today. I hope to get to that. Time allows us, we'll get to that today.
Is Rambam referred to by Yeshua and women by the wall?
You have other, sure.
You remember that?
Yeah, very much.
why are you jumping from the din of smicha to mitzvah says my grandma?
Oh, because Rashi did that. Right, Rashi did
only
it. Ah, so Zokta Shagas Arya says the Shagas Arya. Who says the Rambam has to learn like Rashi? The Rambam learned like Tosfos. The Rambam learned it's not all mitzvahs. It's certain mitzvahs that have a specific problem with them. We don't allow women to do. So smicha is one of those mitzvahs. Shofar is one of those mitzvahs. Tzitzis, we don't have a problem for a lady with tzitzis. Doesn't bother us.
The Rambam makes a blanket.
Oh, Frank the Shagas Arya. What do you do at the end of the Rambam? Aye, what did the rabbi say? V'chein shar mitzvah. So look at number 12, a big doichi from the Shagas Arya. He says, V'hodim esayim v'chein shar mitzvah. Zay, haynu, dafka dumi nitzit is the lekel ameichel shum dror disur basi yosan. Says the Shagas Arya that when the Rambam wrote V'chein shar mitzvah, he didn't mean all mitzvahs. He meant all mitzvahs that are similar to tzitzis that have no side problem if a woman would want to do it.
So there is such a problem.
Yeah, he didn't hold of it. Even though the Targum Yonason thinks that's the problem of why women are not allowed to wear tefillin and talis because of Begedish. But the way the Shagas Arya learns the Rambam, it's very funny. He learns the Rambam that when the Rambam made a very open statement, V'chein shar mitzvahs asay, which sounds like all mitzvahs, no, don't go so quick. It's not all mitzvahs. It's only those mitzvahs that are comparable to tzitzis that have no problem if a woman would want to do it. Which I think we can all agree is a little bit of a deichik, possibly, to learn like that. But what's important from the Shagas Arya is that the Shagas Arya wants to learn that the Rambam does not hold of Rashi. It's not a Baal Tosef problem. There's no such problem of Baal Tosef. Why do I think it's mukhach to learn like this in the Rambam? Because if you look in the Achrenim, they're all bothered that when the Rambam describes Baal Tosef, the Rambam seems to have learned Baal Tosef as a din in Bezdin. The Rambam learned that the Baal Tosef of making up a new mitzvah, that, which is the only way the Rambam could have learned, if he learned like Rashi, he meant it's making up a new mitzvah. The Rambam held that prohibition of making a new mitzvah is not on a yochid. If Yochid wants to go make up a new mitzvah, it won't be Baal Tosef. If Bezdin gets up one day and makes an announcement, says, Rabbi Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, today we have a new mitzvah, that would be Baal Tosef.
When so, you say Bezdin, you mean a local Bezdin?
No, it means whoever is going to have the power. Chazal. That was the kasha. That was the kasha the Gemara had. How did Chazal make up Chanukah and Purim, all those kashas? So according to the Rambam, the Hechuchi couldn't learn like Rashi, because the Rambam doesn't believe it's true. According to the Rambam, if an individual were to make up a yomtiv, he wouldn't be over Baal Tosef. It's only if Bezdin were to be Kaveya, it's for Klai Yisrael, then it would be. So it's Taka Gishmak to learn the Rambam not like Rashi, because not only would it be a steer in Rambam, it would be more than that, because the Rambam doesn't believe that's even true. So what we see from all of this is that there's a clear machloikis tanoim, are women even allowed to do certain mitzvahs eishas magram? According to the Rambam, Pashas, women are not allowed to blow shayf. Mashaykin, if you hold like the other mandam in the Gemara, which is the way most Rishayin and Paskin, women are allowed to do mitzvahs eishas magram. Okay, now let's flip the side to the other extreme that we have in Klal Yisrael today. There's a famous Magen Avraham in Hilchas Sfiras Ha'Omer. The Magen Avraham writes in number 13 on the din of Sfiras Ha'Omer. The Magen Avraham writes, "Noshim peturis misfira to have a mitzvah seish has man grama. Women are part of Sfiras Ha'Omer because it's a mitzvah seish has man grama." There is a famous sheet that's Ramban. Ramban holds it's not. Ramban holds it's a mitzvah seish ain't has man grama. Okay, and everyone says Torah and of salvation thinks the whole Ramban never existed. Don't bother saying any Torah. But I think for our share today, it's important to remember that there is a Shitas Ramban out there that holds women are obligated in the mitzvah sphere. Says the Magen Avraham, "Chinkas bezari tetzave umiu kvar shaviyayu alayhim choiva." Says the Magen Avraham, even though women are taka potter, you're right, but they already accepted upon themselves as an obligation. Now, this is amazing. We just finished fighting whether or not they're even allowed to do it. Not only are they allowed to do it, comes along the Magen Avraham says, they already made it an obligation on them. How did that happen? When did that happen? How did that happen? Did it happen? A big chiddush from the Magen Avraham. And more so, if it's taka true, so now they have to be stuck like we are. They have to have all the obligations and all the restrictions and all the dinim that we have. And the two major shilohs that come up, if it's taka true, that women were kvashav yaleim choyva, so let's say it's true by shofar as well, so then it should come out that women are not allowed to eat before shofar, just like we're not allowed to eat before shofar, A. And B, it should also come, if you assume you're not allowed to eat before shofar, which hopefully we'll get to in this halacha shiur this week, maybe. And the other issue is let's say a lady can't make it for whatever reason. Does she have to be mataneder? Can she be mataneder? What's she supposed to do? If it's kvashav yolem choiv, if she made it an obligation, so now she's stuck. The same way a man has to run around on Rosh Hashanah to find the Baal Tekeah, should a lady also have to?
Is it the same level chiyuv?
Okay. So let's see. What does it mean? What does this mean? Kvashav yolem choiv. So what does that mean? Was there a big asifa from all the women got together once and all decided they're voting yes for this? Like, what happened?
Before they took it upon themselves to the public, what was it?
So it was machlokes tanaim. Either it was usher or they were allowed to.
Sounds like marv, you know.
So we're going to get to marv in a second. So it says the minchas chinuch. That would be a bracha problem. That's the machlokes mishainim between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rif. They can make the bracha. So says the minchas chinuch, number 14. The minchas chinuch is the mitzvah shin vav. Says the minchas chinuch. He quotes the Magen Avraham. He says v'dvarim zet tzarechin of who davar chadosh. The noshim im kiblu alayim lasis mitzvah seishem turim yischayvu bnei deshavi alayim choyvu. Is that true? Now we know a person can be makabel anything they want of themselves. We can be makabel nedarim anything. Mm-hmm. So is that what happened over here? Was it that all the women decided that they want to be makabel neder on themselves? They all want to be noig this din.
And they obligated not only themselves but future generations.
That's what it sounds like. Now again, here we're talking about specifically sfiras oimer. Does this mean only sphere they got up and decided, or it's all mitzvah shehas magrama? Women's rights moved in, they decided all mitzvah shehas magrama, we want to kvash aviyam chayv. Says the minchas chinuch, v'lari isi came mishamakim. He says he's never seen it anywhere. Now, I don't know if he means any physical location, never any community, or any source for this in halacha. What about Ma'ariv? We know that we kvash aviyam chayv of Ma'ariv. V'ein adoyimah l'tfilas arvis. It's not like Ma'ariv. What does he mean, it's not like Ma'ariv? He's saying that even though Ma'ariv is Rishos, we already have a Krashav Yalem Choyv on Ma'ariv. That's why we all have to have Ma'ariv. What do you mean? I was never Krashav Yalem. How could I be Krashav Yalem Choyv? So if you look over here, in number 17, is the Darki Moshe, the Ramon, Kuf Peches. Kuf Peches, the Torah is clearing a Shaila from Rabbeinu Yechiel. A person forgets Ritzei in Shal Shud is benching, because you have to repeat benching. So the Torah lays out, what's the Suffolk Talin? Talin, if you have to really bench. If you don't have to bench, so then why do you have to repeat Ritzei? Just like we know in Rosh Chodesh, we don't have to wash, you don't have to repeat. So he basically makes this chesed. He says, I was, so the Beis Yosef points out, what do you mean? But kvar la shavya l'mchoyva, we already were mekabel upon ourselves to wash at Shal Shudas. So the Darki Moshe says, v'niruli, davka besudash shlishis ikalameh mekia gavna. The only time you can say such a chesed of kvar shavya l'mchoyva is only by Shal Shudas. Me'acher de ikalaman de omar de choyva lechol pas. Because there is at least one opinion that holds like that. Whether or not we hold like that or not, but there's at least an opinion out there. So you can make Shav Yalem Choyva following that opinion that pre-exists. Dumya that feels Arvis, like by Ma'ariv. The Ekel Mandom, the Choyva L'Spal. Because by Ma'ariv, there's already an opinion that holds you have to have a Ma'ariv. Where, even though there's an arguing opinion, but okay, Kva Shav Yalem Choyva makes it that we adapt that opinion. But when it comes to Rish Chodesh, there's no one who says you have to, even though we're all Shav Yalem Choyva. Like at least in his days, we were all shavi and mechayv to wash on Rosh Chodesh. That would still not make you have to go back for Yal V'Yav. So the chayv, what the Minchas Chinuch is saying here also.
Women,
but women, there's no one that says they're obligated, unless you hold like the Ramban. If you hold like that, there's a Ramban out there that Taka holds women are obligated in Sfiras Ha'Omer, that it's not a mitzvah shehas magrama and it's not a printing mistake. So then ein echrami. Then the Minchas Chinuch's kash is not true. Then you could use this to say the same idea. Maybe over here, when there's so many Rishonim against it, maybe you can't. But at least there's a opinion that holds you could do it. So the Minchas Chinuch says he does not understand this Magen Avraham. How can you do such a thing? You don't have a pre-existing halacha to do so. However, there seems to be a very strong right to this from the Maril. If you look at number 15, the Maril and Hilchos Shofar, again, till now this is all by Sfira. This doesn't necessarily have to be for all other mitzvahs. This could only be Sfira. You'll ask me why only Sfira? Because Sfira is easy. It's biyodo. You don't need a Baal Tekeah. You don't need to buy dal minim, you don't need to build a sukkah. You sit in your house and you can't. It takes 2 seconds. So maybe that's when kvar shav yalem chayva. Who says women decided that all mitzvah sheshes magrama? They want to be involved? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the Maril writes number 15, very interesting. He writes, Noshim p'turis, the mitzvah sheshes magrama, who? Ach shemachnisen es atzmon l'chiv. But they put themselves into chiv. Maril lived before the Magen Avraham. So great in times in Maril, women were already making themselves chayv. Hoyo shemechayven es atzmon. Now that they tak are mechayv themselves, tzvichin his dari, that the quick, letakin tzarchein, heim betachshitin, heim betafshilin, lios pnuyas love the basic nesses, v'lios shom l'shmeya kol shofar. They got to make sure to do all the cooking, get all dressed, be ready to be on time for shofar ring. So what do you see from the Maril? I would say, what do you mean? Tell them don't come to shul, stay home. Teretz says that's not true. Is that since they were already mechayiv themselves, we now have to work around their schedule. We now have to accommodate them. Because it sounds like this idea that they were mechayiv themselves is actually binding. So this might be the source of the Magen Avraham. This is by Shofar. The Magen Avraham was by Svira. But you're seeing from the Rishonim such a concept that women is hischayves on themselves has some form of significant halachic ruling instead of just saying, who cares? I'm happy you were makabel upon yourself. What's the difference with us?
But correct. This would also fit in with the Mechazchet that there's a sheet that says that they're chayiv. I mean, how are they being machoyiv?
Right, that's the question. How are they doing it? So Pashim Shah, you could learn that this is like a neder. Every woman who wants to come to shul is mekabel neder. Why do we accommodate her? Because the dharma is very severe and we don't want to have to run into a tarsa dharma issue, so we accommodate her. But it could be pshat in my rules that no, that this is a real thing. This is... He should be. Then he goes right, he says, because of oid, hoyo v'hanoshim mechnis was atma b'chiv atkiya. Now that they were mechayiv themselves, nochen adover, im yichoylem b'shum tzad, she'nichu atinoiket b'bayis, they should leave the kids at home. They should have siku b'shmei kol shofar. Now we got no one watching the kids. The husbands are in shul, the mothers are in shul. Who's watching the kids? I don't know. Instead of my real says, okay, if you're going to take it seriously, then you can't bring the kids to shul. Because what happens? The mothers bring the kids to shul and they're busy with the kids the whole time. Then they're not being mechayim, they're chayivus. So it's a shtickle, be careful. If you want to be mechayivus, you got to really do it the right way. You can't come to shul and be busy with the kids. So the Maril says that he thinks we have to be careful. Now the truth is the Mishnah Berurah says not like that. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that if someone has to go home because of the kids, the Mishnah Berurah says the women should be the ones to go home. He writes, if the kids are noisy, he obviously has a whole discussion about bringing kids to shul for shofar. He says, obviously you shouldn't disturb the rest of the kehillah. He says, but if the kids are making noise, they have to go home. So clearly he doesn't seem like this Maril that...
This is all going on the side that it's reshus for them. It's
right, obviously he's assuming they're allowed to. Yeah. Right. According to Rashi, they wouldn't even be allowed to. Forget accommodating them, we would tell them not to do it. Now, till this Maril, the Magen Avraham himself wouldn't be an indicator for other mitzvahs. Comes along with Kiveger and a tshuva, the first simon in tshuvas of Kiveger. Kiveger writes like this. He says, well, number 16, Luzen near the BMS Eina Bechiv HaMitzvah Zu, Kiven the Havetz Man Kramo, women are not Mechoyiv, El the Mechomokim Roiv No Shedidon, the majority of our women, Machmiro Ma'atzmon, they're Machmiro on themselves, Vizihiris Vizrizis Lakaim Roiv Mitzvah Shaz Man Kramo. I would add, maybe sometimes better than the men. But in any case, says in Kiveger, that today women are Mechabal and they do it. Kigoyin, Shoifer Sukko of the Luluf. Where did he see that? Where do you get all these mitzvahs? The Magen Avraham only said Asvira Soimer. Says B'Kivayin, no. The women are from her today. They do all of them. We got Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav, V'chein, B'Kiddush Yom Tov. V'Havei Kikiblu Alayu. Says B'Kivayin, the same lomdus as the Magen Avraham. He just expands it on more mitzvahs. It's Kiyu Deir Mekabel. So Kiddush Yom Tov is complicated because that's a big machoikis. Because we know women are mechoyev in Kiddush on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos you have Zachar V'Shomer. So anyone that's mechoyev in Shmir Shabbos is mechoyev in Zechira Shabbos. What about Yom Tov? You don't have that about Yom Tov. So that's a big discussion about the nature of Kiddush and Yom Tov. Whether or not, so there are those who say, if Kiddush and Yom Tov is their Raisis, then the women are included also somehow. If Kiddush and Yom Tov is only their Rabbanah, then they're not included. Kivega seem to have assumed that women are not obligated in the midst of Kiddush and Yom Tov. And the Pashup Shad is, even though they're Mechuyiv on Shabbos, Kiddush, Shabbos is different than Yom Tov, because Shabbos has Zachar V'Sham. So what you see from this from Kivega is, if Kivega expanded on this Magen Avraham and applied it to all other mitzvahs. The problem with all this wonderful Torah is, it's beautiful, right? They decided it. There's a very famous piece of Avud Ruham. Avud Ruham, it's also quoted by the Kolboy. Avud Ruham has a beautiful piece over here. Avud Ruham writes, what's pshat that the Torah parted women from Mitzvah Shezman Grama? Says Avud Ruham, Tam sheniftiru noshim Mitzvah Shezman Grama. Why did the Torah do it? I don't know if you want to read this to your wife. But says Avud Ruham is that the wife's job is to be on call, to be ready to help her husband. If she'd be busy with mitzvahs, it could be while she wants to shake her lulav, her husband says, no, I need to have a cake made. We need something to eat. So what's going to happen, says Avud Ruham, a good firm girl, she's going to tell her husband, too bad on your cake, I got to listen to Hashem. She's going to listen to Hashem. She's not going to listen to her husband, she's going to do what Hashem says. What's going to happen to Hashem? Says Avud Ruham, you know why Chazal patted them? You know why they patted them? Shalom bayis. Because if they're going to be on the clock, and they can only do mitzvahs at specific times, it's going to potentially lead to shalom bayis problems. The Torah. Hashem's name is Nimchal HaMayim Teil HaTol Shalom Bein Yishlishlei. The beauty of shalom bayis. So says Avud Ruham, that's why they're exempt. So many people ask. So if that's the pshat, who gave them the right to crash Avi Alem Chayva? Forget the Minchas Chinuch's kasha of logistics. Now talk hashkafically. If the whole reason why Hashem patted you was because they know your time is not yours and you have responsibilities, mehechet teis, you have the right to go circumvent the Torah.
What is
Huh? Yeah, it's a problem.
Well, first of all, these particular mitzvahs don't take away from it. Eating in the sukkah is not taking away from the time from your husband. I'll be
but again, any zman groma, any mitzvah is zman groma.
But I'm saying, you have to look at what mitzvah you're talking about. What are we
again,
about?
No, the truth is, we all know deep down that the Vudraham is not being Dorish time of the cross. Because there's obviously many kashas. What do you do with a single girl? A 15-year-old girl, why can't she keep it? Or single, I'm saying, we all know that this is Avud Raham. You know, everyone, when they learn Kiddush and Chavtes, they all quote this Avud Raham, and everyone always speaks out. We all know that Avud Raham is not really Pshat in the Torah because there's too many kashas on it. It's just, it's an interesting idea to say to yourself, one second, if that was the Ratz in HaTorah, this is a very funny thing, that not only are we going around the Ratz in HaTorah and saying, okay, good, they're not allowed to, but they could, but it's more than that. You're going against what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted them not to do this, and you're going around Kvar Shav Yilem Chayv. So the truth is, if Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld has a tshuva in Shalom Eschayim, where he wants to tell that we all misunderstood this Magen Avraham. We all thought the Magen Avraham meant all mitzvahs. It's not true. There was never kvar shav yalem chayva for shayfer. Why? What's the difference? So he writes, the difference is, it's only by Sfiras HaOmer. Why? Because that's b'mash she'eina b'yodo l'kiblo layu. They were only mekabel on those mitzvahs that they could do themselves.
Very quickly.
It's easy. You can do it at home. You don't need to make everyone crazy. So he thinks it's davar pashut, according to him, there was never a chayvus on any other mitzvah, which is not like a kivega. If Kivegah says Mefurish, all the other mitzvahs. Why is this negeh? Because if you hold like this, Shtikol Torah, Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, if it comes out of a case where a lady, for whatever reason, is not able to hear Shefer one year, so you'll have to ask, actually, she needs to be Mat the Neder. Says Yosef Chaim, no, she doesn't. She was only Mikabel Svira. If she doesn't do Svira, so every one year, she needs to maybe be Mikabel Neder.
So he would say it's okay for her to pick up a Shefer and blow it herself.
Right. He's not going, we're going Halach Lamaisa that there's no Isser. Now, you want to know, is there an obligation? Yeah, there's an obligation to hear Svira, so Omer. They don't have to go. He holds that the whole Kibla Laim Chayva was only for those mitzvahs that's beyond it. Not like the Maril. Okay, we saw the Maril was clearly not like this. Maril made it sound like that they were very much obligated.
They
why?
Pashat
is not. Right. Pashat is only those. Show, correct. That's correct. But this created another big Shiloh. What about if you live in a community where there's no Erev? Believe it or not, there are a few communities left like that. And there's no Erev. So the halacha is this is a mistake people have. Even if there's no Erev on Yom Tov, it doesn't mean you're allowed to carry anything you want. There's still rules. You can only carry Litzarech. Mitoich and Hutcho. It has to be Litzarech. So the question is, are you allowed to carry a shofar to blow shofar for a woman? A woman wants to hear shofar, she's at home, she just had a baby, whatever it is. So you'll carry the shofar from in Rishas Aram to hear to blow shofar for her. So you'll think, Avad, why not? We're getting schar, it can't be so bad. So there's another very famous piece of Shagasaya. The Shagasaya thinks that that's Aser. The Shagasaya writes in the Tshuva that that's Aser. How could it be Aser? He says the Rosh writes that even though women are not obligated in shofar, but it's okay for a lady to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Aye, what happened to the Yisrael Rabbanon of the blowing instruments? Teretz says that's pushed aside because when she does the mitzvah, she at least gets schar. Mm-hmm. Says the Shagasara, yeah, that's an Yisrael Rabbanon. But for an Yisrael Deraisa, not true. If carrying a shofar from one house to another house would involve an Yisrael Deraisa, and the halacha is we're only matter or hoitzol tzairich, this is not called a tzairich.
It also doesn't come at the same time. It's also separate.
So right.
It doesn't come at the same time. There's no way to do
that. So therefore, according to the Shagasaria, if it would be a deraisa, carrying in a place where it's taka a deraisa, he thinks it's not mutter. Even according to the mandam that women are allowed to, but I don't understand. According to the mandam that women are allowed to, the pshat is they're mekayim a mitzvah. So if they're mekayim a mitzvah, shouldn't that be enough of a tzairich to be matrit? Shagasaria says no. That's not enough. The tzorich of an Issa Deraisa to be pushed aside has to be a real mitzvah. That's not sufficient.
What's that? Why would you do for a man?
Because he has a mitzvah.
No, but why would you violate Issa Deraisa to...
No, it's not.
No.
The pshat is called a tzairich, and then hutra. There's no iser hutra. Right, it's a tzairich. Right, he holds it. Right, he holds this is not a tzairich. The fact that a woman will get tzchar is not a tzairich. It's a very big chiddush from the Shagasai. This Shagasai is not accepted la halacha. Most people disagree, and that's the minhag in those communities that don't have Moshe Feinstein. There's a tshuva over here, number 21, where he writes explicitly that that's not the case.
Maybe you can only carry Litzorach. You're not hefka with an Erev. You're not supposed to just carry willy-nilly.
Yeah, but the point is because but Ramosha's Tikkul Torah is he.
You're saying
the Ramosha's Tikkul Torah is that he thinks most of the Erevs are not really Rishas Rabbans. He thinks most of them are really Derabbanans. So for Derabbanan, he thinks it's the same Derabbanan as blowing the shayf. So Ramosha thinks it's mutter. The other shayla that comes up is. Let's say a lady misses it one year. She comes every year for the last 25 years, and this year the kids were just not behaving. She doesn't hear shofar.
You're 25-year-old.
They get harder when they get older. Yeah. Right? Every year my wife tells me she has to go hear shofar. I tell her, no, you don't. You don't have to hear shofar. It's okay. She goes to a later hearing. She goes to hear shofar later, and I get stuck watching the kids. What? Yeah, I don't think she has to. I agree. I don't think she has to. But what happens if that's your minute? For the last 15 years, you always go here, Shaif. And this year, you can't make it. So if you look over here, number 22, the Sefer Kovetz Halachas, written by this Talmud from Shul Kamenetsky, he writes to Dava Pashat, you don't have to go track down someone to hear a second tekiyas. I think that's very mistavra, because women are not really mechoyev. I krashavi alem mechoyev. Yeah, krashavi alem mechoyev meant either like Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, not for Shaifer, or krashavi alem mechoyev meant they were mekabel when it works into the schedule, when it's not too much of an inconvenience. However, I wrote over here from the Nitta Gavriel. Nitta Gavriel thinks not like that. He thinks if a lady didn't hear it because she was busy with the kids, she has to go hear it a second time. I don't know. I'm not so sure. That, I mean, obviously, I'm wrong because in all the shuls they have a second blowing. I don't know if that's mikra. I didn't know that just to make the women feel good. Right, about it. Rabbi Eliashiv writes that the minigas, even for women are mechuyev, they're only mechuyev mishloishim. They only have to hit the first 30 kiyos. They don't have to sit there and to hit 100 and then all the briska chumras and sit there all day blowing shayfa. That they don't have to do. We don't have to do that either, but they don't have to do that for sure. But what about the other shayla? The other shayla is what about eating before shayfa? Assuming that men are not allowed to eat before shayfa because you're not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah, so does kvashav yalem mechuyev make it and now women also can't eat before they hear shayfa? I don't know if I don't know if they told the women this. Ah, is that true? Is that the pshat? Is the well, but if
you're not allowed to eat before you give tzedakah, I mean, I could give tzedakah any time.
Right, but if kvashav yalem chayv is real, if that is a real thing, however that works, the mechanics of it, does that make them now geishlod? So there's a chay adam over here, number 24. The Mata Ephraim. The Mata Ephraim is brought down a number in the next page on 24. It's the same thing is found in Darki Moshe, where he says v'moisha yoled this oicholav eni cholav levarich. The gam koshlo lahamtin ashas tkiyas basic nesses yitaka lamiyat. He talks about a case of a lady can't wait till later, so you blow shayfa for her earlier. So what do you see from over here? Yitaka, it's a problem. You see, it's a problem that if you can't eat before, yitaka can't eat before. Imamish would be a regular lady who's not a tzairich would not be allowed to eat breakfast before she goes here shayfa. However, the chayyadim disagrees. If you look in the chayyadim, he says that this is a lomdisha kabbalah. He writes over here that kiblavach afagav shekra kibolem chayva mikamokim tsar achayli yeshloim edolei kiblu. It was a lomba shekabala. They were only mekabalit when they could. Meaning, I'm mekabal to do this mitzvah as long as it's not too much of an inconvenience. Once it becomes an inconvenience, I wasn't mekabal. In number 26, Rishon Kamenetsky wants to say a shtickel different lomba. He wants to say he splits the two. He says they were mekabalem chayva of the chiyuv, but not what it comes along with the isra achila before. That's what they did. They're real lumdish women we have over here. They decided they want to be mekabel em chayva. They want to be mechayiv and shayfa. They want to do shayfa. But they don't want to be mekabel the dinim that are neveya from being mekabel upon shayfa. Now, to that I would say, who says you have the choice? It's not exactly up to you. Yeah, I guess it's really playing off the chayodams that really in lumdish they were never mekabel. I don't think there's a din that you can decide I'm being mekabel half and not the other half. And I want to only blow shayfa the first day, not shayfa the second day. I only want to hear from this baltic not the right. So I guess you could say anything. But to me, it's a little hard to understand. The other shayla is what about women have to be with kabel neder? It may be matter neder if they can't make it. So that seems to be a machloikis shach and magen avram. Because there's a stir in Ramah in Yerodea to Ramah in Arachaim. If you look very quickly, number 27, the Machab is talking about cases where people take menhagim upon themselves of things which are clearly not obligatory, and then they decide they want to back out because they don't feel good. He's talking about people who decide they want to fast certain days of the year, and then they feel it's not up to them. They can't handle it. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to be matter neder. And the Ramah never argues. However, the Ramah, number 28, in Siman Tovkuf Samaches, talks about those people who want to fast Bahab. And he says, if you were Mekabel to do it, and then you realize that there's a bris, so the halacha is, you don't need to be matter it. Ki loy nogu l'sanas b'chi agavna. Because in such a case, you're never Mekabel. So, Frek Teshach, what's the difference between the case where there's a siyam and a case where you don't feel well? Well, what's the difference? Obviously, I was never Mekabel Tainis if I would have known I wasn't going to feel well. The same way I wasn't Mekabel Tainis if I would have known there was going to be a bris that day. So what's the difference? So the Shach in number 29 says, Teres says, I never thought I wasn't going to feel well. I knew, I didn't know, you know, brisim, we know brisim happened. So I cheshmed the bris into my head. However, says the Shach, but I never thought I wasn't going to feel well. That was never on my radar. If it was never on my radar, so then I
feel well, just like people.
I guess he felt people generally fasted better than they do today. The Doga Merivava time is not. The Doga Merivava says, no, what's the comparison? By a bris milah, the pshat is over there, by a bris milah, it's a one-time occurrence. It's not going to happen every single time. It's a one-time occurrence. So if you have a one-time occurrence, so then you say that attack adaita dehachi that I don't need to have a taras adarm for. But something that's going to happen frequently, that I would be matan neder. So the Magen Avraham says, according to the Dogal Merivava, if a lady normally makes it to Shefer in 1 year, she doesn't make it, she doesn't even matan neder. because that's a one-time occurrence. She plans on going back next year to hear Shofar, and last year she heard Shofar. For a one-time occurrence, you don't have to be Matan Neder. Just to finish off, the Kaf HaChaim disagrees. The Kaf HaChaim says if a lady normally goes and she doesn't hear Shofar, she does have to be Matan Neder. Most Achrayim disagree. But L'chayu, it's told in the Machlokes Shach and Magen Avraham how to answer up the steer in Ramah.
So what misreading is one being Yosef? Is this a Shofar or is this being Machayim?
Yesh Ladin. I think you could debate it.
Yeah.
Okay.